Super Yacht Radio.
Welcome to Super Yacht Radio, and welcome to our New Year series, where we are catching up with the captains and the crew and the leaders in our industry to hear their stories and find out how they got to where they are and their mentors and advice along the way. Today, I have the pleasure of chatting with Captain Kelly Gordon, who is based in Fort Lauderdale, and delighted to have you here today, Kelly. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. So excited to be on the show and really glad to be here to be able to share whatever it is that I can share with you today. So well, happy to be here.
Starting back, Kelly, I mean, where did you grow up and what were your kind of first steps into yachting?
That's a good question. And I always chuckle when somebody asks me that question, because I grew up the furthest away from yachting. I actually grew up in Middle America on a small farm in North Central Indiana. So I think, you know, really the biggest body of water that I had closest to me was a small stream that was maybe ankle deep. So I didn't grow up around water. When we were kids, we grew up going to the lakes with my grandma and that kind of thing, and spent a little bit of time on a small fish and ski boat. But I didn't grow up on boats like you might think your typical captain would. And so my path to yachting was very different and very unique. And it's a question that I like to get asked, and it's a story and an answer that I always like to share, because I hope that it inspires young folks, or anybody for that matter, that wants to make a career change or to get into this career. I hope it inspires them to know that you don't have to have grown up on the water. If this is something you want to do, you can do it no matter your background or where you come from, because I did. And so how I got into it was I ended up going to graduate school out on the East Coast in Wilmington, North Carolina. And from there, I found the ocean. I found a lack of shoveling snow anymore and warm weather. And I found some really big boats. And it was out there that I started my yachting career.
Your kind of first step on the Paso Rail. I kind of love hearing this bit, because there's a lot of accidental stories, which are less so, I think, in the past 10 years. It's become a lot more competitive for young crew getting their first step on the Paso Rail. But I love sometimes hearing how it just happened accidentally, or was it a conscious choice of, oh, this looks cool and I want to get into that?
It was completely accidental. And it was completely accidental at first, and then after that it was totally intentional. So and it was way before the passerelle. It started back at the street before the dock. And so prior to being a motor yacht captain, I was a chemistry professor, and it started off from a student of mine. This was my first semester teaching. Starting off with a non-traditional student of mine, noticing that I was new to teaching, new to the area, didn't know anybody, and she was kind of drawn to me, and I was drawn to her, and we just became good friends. And she kept asking me to spend some time with her outside of the classroom. She wanted to show me around town. She was from the area and knew a lot of people. And she was just a real socialite of the community. And I kept telling her, I said, we'll have to wait until the semester is over. Well, we did. She invited me to a party on a boat. Little did I know that what was being hosted on what was this boat was actually an 80-foot motor yacht. And I think it was maybe like a wedding reception or a bridal party or something like that. And so as we're walking up at the end of the dock to this boat, I'm like, oh, is that what you call a yacht? Because remember, I'm not far from having left Central Indiana. And so she's like, yeah, this is my friend, so-and-so, da-da-da. She knows everybody on the boat. The only person I know is her. And I've always had kind of a take charge kind of personality. And when I stepped up onto the boat, I noticed this fellow that was trying to organize everything was really struggling. It was getting really busy and people were coming on with things and he was trying to direct everybody where to set this up, where to set that up. And I just looked at him and I said, "Do you need some help?" He said, "Yeah, I do." And so I just jumped in right away and started helping. And then when we left the dock, I just watched how he operated the boat, and that fella happened to be the captain. And so I watched how he maneuvered it, and I watched how he handled the controls. And I thought to myself, this is an awful lot like a tractor. And remember, I came from a farm. Okay.
Super yacht to tractor comparison.
Right. That's I know. First. Right. Well, and I said that to him, probably not the wisest comment. So I said to him in my bold and brassy little nature, I said to him, "I can do this." And he just looks at me with the turn of his head and he says, "You think so?" And I said, "Yeah, I can." He's like, "All right, well, come back tomorrow." I was like, "Uh-oh." So I did. I mean, now I'm just like, you know, open mouth, insert foot. So I did come back. And he happens to be my mentor, my biggest mentor, my go-to guy still today, 12 years later. He took me under his wing and he taught me everything from the ground up. And so my career into yachting was accidental at first, but then became very intentional because I saw something that I was drawn to. And watching him at first, I was like, I want to know how to do this. I want to learn how to do this. I want to be him. And I did. But without him, and I say this all the time, I say, but without him, I wouldn't be where I am today. But when I say that to him, he says, "Oh, no." He says, "I just gave you the tools." He said, you're the one that, you know, picked him up and ran with them. So that's how I got into it.
And thus speak of the good mentor, you know, of being a guide and not just the teacher, you know, you're guiding someone along the way. You're not necessarily needing to instruct them to where you think they can go. You see the potential and you help open that up.
Yes. And he still is there for me today. I mean, I still, when I'm thinking about making, you know, a change with maybe an owner or a boat or something like that, or I'll call him up, you know, and I'll say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And bounce ideas off of him. And I got lucky, you know, but I was very intentional at the same time, you know. And it also reminds me, you know, when I say that I like sharing my story, because I think that I know there are people out there, especially with the show Below Deck on TV now, the industry has gained so much more exposure. And I think a lot of people think, wow, this would be a really cool industry to be a part of. And it is. It's an amazing industry to be part of. But they think, oh, I could never do it. And I know that goes through the minds of some folks, because a young girl said that to me just earlier this year when we were moving the boat up through the Mississippi River system. And at one of our stops, this young girl comes out and she was, you know, so excited to meet me because I was a female captain, and wanted to talk to me and ask me, you know, how I've done it, how I got there, blah, blah, blah. And she immediately just went to, "Oh, you must have grown up on the water." And I was like, "Actually, I didn't." And she was like, "I'd love to do something like this, but oh, I could never, because I just live on the river in the, you know, in the middle of the country." And I was like, "Yeah, well, I lived on a farm in the middle of the country." So it's so possible.
But because you brought up something that is, even though there has been a lot more discussion about diversity, and we are seeing, in comparison, particularly to 10 or 20 years ago, a lot more female captains, female pursers, you know, first officers, where 20 years ago, women were much more likely to be in the interior crew than working their way up to the bridge. However, it's still a slow moving industry, and it is still quite a minority of female captains. I think the percentage is really not even in double digits, if I'm right. Was that a challenge going through, or is that one of those things that you didn't see it as a challenge and therefore it wasn't?
I have a few ways I want to answer this. Yes, it was a challenge. Yes, it still is a challenge. But the men that I know have been my biggest cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. For example, my mentor, he's a man. He's my biggest fan. I've had owners that will only hire women. And you may say at first, because I did, I said, well, why will you only hire women? Because you might be going, well, what's up here? And they'll quickly tell you, if you want to get something done, hire a woman. Or they'll say that, you know, they like the finesse. They like the caution. I was just having this conversation the other day with a guy. He said that he felt that women were a little bit more cautious. And he liked that aspect. And he felt that women were more willing to dig in into all areas and help out with the crew if the crew were running behind in all different areas and facets of the boat. There are some men that just communicate better with women. For example, my brother, bless his little heart, was raised by my mother and us two sisters. So, you know, someone like him, he's going to communicate better with women. So there are owners out there that prefer female captains. So in that regard, that's nice for us, but we don't, and I say we as in female captains or female crew. And let me specify on the exterior, female deck crew. It's been a struggle, but again, my mentor has been my biggest fan, a friend of mine. I could almost call him another mentor of mine, put my name forward for a job just yesterday. He calls and checks on me all the time. There's another buddy of mine that I can't count the number of men that are so supportive of me being a motor yacht captain. They're amazing. However, it was just yesterday that I was walking down the dock and bright sunny day. Hi, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a guy stepping on board a boat that's got a for sale sign hanging off of it. And I was like, oh, I think you should buy it. You know, it's just a nice sunny day. And I'm just being bubbly. And we get to talking and he says, oh, you run so-and-so's boat down or. Oh, you're on so-and-so's boat down there. And I was like, yeah. And I'm carrying some laundry. So I'm thinking to myself in my head, he's probably thinking that I'm the stew, but I don't say anything. And the conversation goes on and he asks me how my boat got its name. And I said, yeah, I like the name of my boat. I was joking. And I said, it sounds more manly. I said, some of these boats have such a sissy little name. And he was like, oh, well, are you the captain? And I said, yeah, I am. And he says, yeah, well, I own a marina and I have women running my marina and I'm supportive of female captains and I'm supportive of the women running my business. But at the end of the day, when they need to get something done, they still have to call me.
Ouch.
I was just like, it's 2021. Like, you know, and so I was just where, you know, for a minute, I was like, yeah, this is going to be nice. This fellow's going to be behind the fact that I'm a female captain. You know, he just said he was, and now he just says he's not. And it's a struggle. It's kind of frustrating. You know, when I go to dock the boat, heads will turn, people will stop what they're doing completely. to watch me dock the boat, any female dock the boat, female captain. And I don't know if they stop and look because it's unique, because female captains are rare and they want to watch, or do they think that maybe they can't?
Well, you're doing such a good job and you're so pretty that they can't help but watch.
Well, so I tend to see things a little bit more. My mate and I were talking the other day, and she says, you know, so, and that's another thing is, my first mate is a female. So she's a minority, just like myself. We're both women in the deck department. And she says, yeah, but you tend to see things a little bit more bubbly and almost through rose colored glasses, you know? So I tend to think, no, they're stopping and looking because, you know, they're admiring the fact that the boat's run by women. They're admiring the boat. They're admiring the women. They're proud of the fact that there's two girls running the boat. So I tend to think more along the positive side. But, you know, then when you run into fellas like yesterday, it just kind of lets the air out of your bubble a little bit. So long story long, to answer your question, has it been a struggle being a woman in the deck department? Yes and no, but the men that surround me have been nothing but my biggest fans. So the young girls that I run into that want to be in the deck department, I know as a young woman are sometimes afraid of these guys. Even my mate, she's 22, and sometimes she's afraid to ask a male captain about something. I know she'll want to ask them because she's trying to learn and absorb and make contacts. And I encourage her to learn from other captains more than just myself. And I want her to know these people, and I want to introduce her to this whole industry. But I can see her timidness sometimes with some of these older captains. She's a bit afraid to approach them sometimes. And what I want some of these younger women to know, even younger men, is the guys in this industry, and I say the guys in this industry because it is male dominated, I would say 99% of them will help you. They want you to succeed. And when you run into the 1% that don't want to help you, then just go the other way, because you're bound to find somebody that will.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and you know, that's one of the great feedbacks I've been hearing from chatting with other captains and crew is make the most of your experience. You know, every chance you get, try and learn and get more experience. It's not how big your boat is. It's learning all those steps from the ground up. And I think having more women, and this is true, I come from originally a medical background, and certainly when I was, you know, going through as a student, 90%, even though our class was half and half, 90 to 95% of my consultants and my professors were all men. But bit by bit, you know, it takes time for an industry to change. It takes time for perception to change. And we need role models and mentors at the top, because as we all know, be it on board or in an office, we work better as humans when we have a balance of the two.
So, oh, absolutely. I think, you know, so.
The more diversity we have on board at senior level and junior level and each of the levels, I think the richer our industry will become, because both sides, as you say, there are some things that women are just naturally going to be a bit better at. There's other things that men are naturally going to be a bit better at. And there's all of these learned skills and experience in the middle where we can both achieve the same thing.
I agree. Yeah. And there's, and you always want to try and absorb and take away and learn from one another. And like you say, we each have our own inherent ability. And I think having that diversity allows you to just make a much better team.
Yeah. I had one of my best friends started later on as a deckhand because she loved sailing and she wasn't really interested in the interior. But, you know, she would have said as a woman in her early 30s when she was starting up, it was tough to be a deckhand. And people would look at her and go, why do you want to be a deckhand? And she very much felt for that time, both her age and her sex, much more so, I think, than she would have had she been in early 20s or had she been a guy starting in. So sometimes I think you've got to push through the boundaries and recognize, okay, I am trying to come in slightly different to everyone else, but I'm going to be proud of it because I've got the same skills as everybody else. And in if nothing else, I've got a willingness to learn and a drive to learn. And that can make all the difference. She didn't actually continue and go up to captaincy, but it was a very big life experience her couple years on board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think too, once the, and that's something that I've always done is, you know, I let the guys know that I'm here to learn and I'm here to work, you know, and I'm here to carry my own weight. And once they see that, they're more than willing to help you, you know, it's been a great experience for me. I really have to say that I do love my job. You know, I was up until 9:30 last night, you know, just tinkering away on little projects on the boat because I want to, you know, I could have been done at 9:30 at night, but I wanted to, you know, I enjoy my job.
And the role of captain for you, I mean, what would be some of the most important elements of what you do? Because, you know, obviously, driving the boat is the first role we think of, but the more captains I talk to, it's a lot bigger than that. And that's actually sometimes for many, not the biggest part of the job.
That's the smallest part of the job. Driving the boat is the smallest part of the job. Management, multitasking. It seems like I spend a lot of time on the phone. So, for example, right now the boat that I'm on needs a little bit of TLC. So I've been spending a lot of time. We just got to Lauderdale a couple of weeks ago. So we're just getting settled in here. And since there's so many vendors and technicians and engineers and such here, great place to get work done. So I've spent a lot of time on the phone with different vendors, trying to get them scheduled, getting them here, explaining to them what's going on with the boat. So a lot of management, getting my mate going in the right direction. Like right now I have a team on the exterior helping me get a really good wash and wax job on the boat, just because we've come all the way from Chicago. So you can imagine we've got a lot of river dirt on us at this point. And so she needs a really good detailing. So it's a lot of management. So that's a huge part. So crew management, vendor management, driving the boat is actually such a small part. The owners are coming soon, so creating an itinerary for them. They're new to me. This is just a contract job for me. They're new to me, so I don't know their personalities as well. So you have to spend a bit of time trying to learn them and about their family so that when you create an itinerary for them, it's one that you know they're going to like. And make sure that you're taking them to the places and doing the things that is going to be fun for them. You know, you've got a 12 and 13 year old girl on, but then you've got a 20 year old boy on. So there's a range of age with the kids. So making sure everybody's having fun and, you know, the husband's laid back, but the wife's a busybody. So, and then I add in there, I barely know them. So just a lot, there's a lot of stuff like that. So that's more of what goes on of being a captain than actually getting to drive the boat. Driving the boat's maybe 10%.
I think that's feedback. And also crew management.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
as you said, you know, the biggest, kind of the biggest, I last year we were chatting with the captain and it was a discussion actually about mental health on board, but he said, you know, as a captain, I'm this combination of roles. I'm both boss and sometimes father and sometimes friend and sometimes mentor. And you need to switch between all the different roles in order to kind of do your job. And in essence, you know, the biggest part of it is the crew I have on board, because happy crew, happy boat.
Well, and that's funny because just last night, I was having a conversation with my mate. So she's in her last semester of college, right? And it's for the last year and a half, she's been online and she's managed it fairly well, but we just got to Lauderdale. So we're trying to get settled in here and her term just started and she hasn't gotten herself on a good schedule. And so she got a bit dramatic last night and she's like, I've missed my first two assignments. And if I can't get it together, I'm just going to have to quit and go home. And I was like, now that's a bit dramatic. I was like, we can get a schedule going here. So I went from being her, I can go all in one day. I can be her captain. I can be her friend. But then I can quickly revert back to being the chemistry professor that I was and go full professor mode on her. So I quickly did that last night. I was like, okay. So we started talking study tactics, time management skills. When do we need to schedule in, you know, and what time of day for her to get her schooling done? So yes, there's a ton going on with your crew and you're, as a captain, you're many different versions, you know? So yeah, sometimes you're sister, sometimes you're mother, sometimes you're teacher, sometimes you're friend, sometimes you're captain. I mean, it's, and you got to be able to balance all that. And it can be difficult.
Switch between them. Yeah. Switching roles and having that kind of clarity between the roles as well, you know?
Because you have these different
positions and sometimes they need the friend because they really need to talk to someone. And at other times, you know, you need to be clear. Now I need you to get this done.
Yes. It's a tough one. It's a tough one, but if you take that time and really communicate with them, it can be done, you know. And I mean, what is it? We say communication is key in all relationships, in work relationships and friendships and romantic relationships. And it really is.
I would agree, you know, whatever industry or wherever you are. For younger crew coming up, Kelly, who are kind of looking under you or looking their way up, you know, along their career path, what sort of few pieces of advice would you give to younger crew who are kind of trying to find their way in their yachting career?
Get on as many different boats as you can. The more experience and exposure you have, the better. Find a mentor. And that's been so huge to me. In a way I was lucky, but in a way, you know, I walk around with my eyes wide open every day. I walk around looking for opportunity. So keep your eyeballs open. If you see somebody that you think, or you notice somebody that you really connect with that could be be that person for you, then pay attention and make a move. There's so many people out there willing to help you. Keep pushing. Don't give up. That was probably a big thing for me. Maybe being a woman is sometimes I would feel like maybe I was getting kicked in the gut every now and again. And I'd feel it for a minute, but then I'd get back up and get going again. But
perseverance.
Yes, perseverance. Definitely. But really get yourself out there. The more in this industry, it's about connections, and it's a small, and having said that, it's a tiny industry. Pay attention to what you do, how you act, what you say, because what you do something dumb in Fort Lauderdale, it could come back to bite you in the rear end in the Mediterranean the few weeks later. It's a tiny industry.
With a global reach.
Yes. Having said that, though, that's the cool part about it, is wherever you go, you're bound to know somebody. Wherever you go, somebody's bound to help you. So folks coming up, maintain that drive, that perseverance. Don't quit. Find a mentor. Take as many opportunities as you can. Making those connections is really important.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true. Even not on board, I have to say we're now broadcasting over almost three and a half years. And I kind of smile because I remember launching, Super Yacht Radio 2017 Monaco Yacht Show, and walking in, I knew Dave, my husband, who I was setting the radio station up, and I knew Costas, who David worked in, because they had worked together in VSAT and techie world of super yachts, and that was it.
Oh wow!
I really, I had a couple loose yachting friends, but not really. And now, over the 3 years, radio is great.
Look at how many people you know.
Talk to people, and yes. I do. I could feel it last year, not unfortunately 2020, but 2019, of going 2 years later into the Monaco Yacht Show, and spending the whole first day in those days hugging and kissing and saying hello and chatting and meeting people that I had known but I hadn't met in person. Or friends, like true friends I've made in the industry that I still haven't met in person. And I have to say, either side of the passerelle, whether you're on board or on shore, it is a very tightly connected industry, which is fantastic for collaboration and support. But also one, I think you're right, and that you need to be aware, it's still quite small.
It has
knock-on effects, and there's only about, and I say this being an Irish person, because there's only 2 degrees of separation between Irish people. Same in the yachting industry. There's only like 2 or 3 degrees of separation.
Yep.
Between almost anyone you meet. So
it's an amazing industry. It really is. Like I said, I love my job. I really do. Yourself in 3 years, look at the connections you have now and all of the amazing people that you've met, and you can go anywhere in this world now and have somebody that you can call up and meet with and know because of this industry. So it's a pretty amazing tiny big industry.
Yeah. And I think for me, I know 2020 was challenging, to put it as politely as possible, but one of, I think, the greatest lessons of 2020 was the importance of human connection. For some people, just sanity was the importance of human connection.
Yes.
And that is what drives us forward. That's what gets us through tough times. That's where we learn. And we can't do it without connecting in the support of others around us as we work our way through.
We can't. We cannot. No, we're social creatures. That's for sure.
Yeah. As we have learned when we haven't been able to hug and kiss in the same way.
I know.
So Kelly, what's 2021 for you? Do you have new plans to take you in other places this year, or are you kind of keeping short-term plans because it still is a little bit unknown where this year is going to go?
Yeah, and I think it's like that still a little, especially with the here in the States, the new president, and still with COVID, I think I find owners a little bit in limbo as to what they're doing. COVID health-wise, you know, election economy-wise. I know I've got work, and I'm grateful for that. I've got a lot of work, actually. And I've got boats that I'm moving back up to Chicago from Fort Lauderdale, and maybe one via the St. Lawrence Seaway. So I'm super stoked about that. And anytime I get to transit an area that I haven't done before, that just really, really excites me. So I'm so excited and hopeful to do that. So yeah, I have plans definitely for a full year. So I know I'll be down here in Lauderdale, the Bahamas for a little while. I'll be back up in the Great Lakes for a little while. So I'll be moving. I'll be moving quite a bit for the next year, definitely.
Can I just mention, because, you know, we're very tied to Fort Lauderdale and the Caribbean, because that's a big part of the yachting season. And this last year, 2020, showed to be actually quite positive for charters all the way up the East Coast. In the yachting world, we actually don't hear that much about the Great Lakes, which must be...
No.
I've been there. They're beautiful, but they don't come up really very often as this is a really cool super yacht destination.
Yeah, you don't... You don't hear about them very often. And we see occasionally some of the largest motor yachts will come into Chicago. Some massive 260 feet, 250, 260, 270 foot motor yachts will come into there. So it's definitely a destination. It's almost kind of an unheard destination unless you're there. But yeah, it seems you're right. Fort Lauderdale and the Caribbean, New England. Yeah. Even you'll hear about a destination, but not the Great Lakes very often. And it's kind of, it's a hidden little gem.
It is. Is it? I mean, I'm presuming distance and getting boats up there is possibly one of the impediments of getting up there, but you've done this a lot of times. Is it?
Yeah.
Challenging?
There's a few ways of getting there. So you can go the inland river system, and one of the cons to that is dealing with floodwaters, and with floodwaters you have brings a lot of trash, and by trash I mean whole entire trees or refrigerators or tractor tires.
Not
you
what
name
you want
it.
Your yacht bumping into.
No. So that's a more direct route, but sometimes depending on the floodwaters can be a more treacherous route. Then you can go the East Coast route through the Erie Barge Canal, but that doesn't open until a little bit later into the spring, and also has height restrictions via some of the bridges, as does the inland waterways that I was just mentioning. So if you have a motor yacht that has a much higher air draft, then your last option is to go the St. Lawrence Seaway, which is going to take you a little bit longer. Little bit longer, but far more scenic.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
So that's, then, like I said, that's the one that I'm dying to do.
Well, fingers crossed then that somebody asks you for advice and takes that as the way to go.
Yep. I can't wait. Yeah. So no, I think the Great Lakes are a hidden little gem for sure.
And a final because synonymous with yachting is the ability to travel. And it depends on your boat and your owner and you know, where they want to go. But if you had your wish list and where would you love to go? And in what boat would you love to go in?
So I have three places that I definitely want to go. But then my ultimate boat. And then I have my ultimate boat and program. So I want to do at least a season in Alaska. I want to do a season in the Med. I want to spend some time in Antarctica. And then ultimately, if I could run an expedition vessel around the world, that would be my dream job. That is my ultimate dream job.
I'd be right there with you. And not really being able to do that much. But, you know, if I had my wish list on a different parallel universe where I was a super yacht captain, that would be my first choice. I would love to be in an expedition vessel because I just...
Well, you can come along. You can come along vicariously.
Cool. When you get the job, I'm parking the kids, putting the radio on music, and I'm there with you.
There, come along. You're coming. We'll do it together.
Sounds like fun. Oh, well, Kelly, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you today.
Thanks for having me. I was so excited when you asked me to do this. I was so excited to do it because I love to share my story. I love to meet new people. I just love to share my story. I really do. And especially, you know, being a female captain. So I'm so glad you reached out. I really am. So thank you so much for having me.
I have to say the great power in a story. You know, you were talking about Below Deck. I think right now as well, there's so many potential great jobs in yachting. It is, you know, for many a super career. But I think hearing the stories and the real life of it is great for those that are kind of coming up behind you, because it doesn't always happen as people imagine. And sometimes it's good to know, you know, the true life experience of being on board and how they got there. So have loved having you today, and we'll get you back on a little bit later in the year to see what your next adventure is.
Yes, I'll be somewhere different for sure. And I will have tons of stories to tell you by then, I know.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We have been chatting with Captain Kelly Gordon. And thank you for tuning in. Stay well, stay safe. You've been listening to Super Yacht Radio.
Super Yacht Radio.